I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 30. And I covet your prayers, and I appreciate, as I want to say before we get started, the host pastor of this church and everyone that has put this meeting together. May God bless you for your efforts. And we really appreciate the opportunity to be here. Looking forward to the morning service. We know Brother Jerry's had a great ordeal with his body. But I want to tell you, after every trouble, there's always a crowning. Did you hear me? After every trouble, there's always a crowning. Joseph gets out of prison and goes straight to the palace. Daniel gets out of the lion's den and has got something to tell everybody. The Hebrew boys come out and they all get praised and took from the dungeon or from any place that others would like to put them and put them right back up and said, "This is our God right here. Their God is our God." I'm going to tell you something. We often take our trials as being the detrimental force of the enemy to destroy us. But all it is God's taking bad opportunities to turn them into crowning days. Amen. I'd like the God of heaven to come down in this meeting and turn a few things into crowning nights here and crowning days in these services, wouldn't you? Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 30, verse number 19, very familiar scripture. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life, the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." I won't preach tonight if the Lord will help me, and I'll deal with other scriptures. I won't preach on where to from here. Where to from here? You see, life, regardless of how we may make it up, it's full of choices. To be without choices, to be without life. Life in its complete makeup, it revolves around the power of decision. If you didn't get up this morning without first making a choice of what I'm going to do today, what I'm going to wear today, what I'm going to become today. Come on here. Nothing has revolved around us without the power of choice. One man said one time, he said, "I would be a whole lot better off if it wasn't those around me." But I tell you, it doesn't matter who's around you. It doesn't matter what is influencing you. It is still your choice to become whatever you desire. Oh, hear me out tonight. You see, we want to often shift the blame when we don't want to come to the responsibility that my indecisions are my fault, that my slow coming unto victory and my slow moving unto God, it's nobody's fault but mine. After Calvary was erected, it became the choice of the world to choose whether they to live or whether they're to die. We have a world that's hanging in a valley of decision that don't know which way to turn. But I'm here to tell you, it ain't because that the evident proof and the infallible proof of it hasn't been laid out. Men have failed to reckon with the opportunity of choice of what must I choose? Am I to be a better preacher? Am I to be a better Christian? Am I to be a better saint? Are we going to have camp meeting? Are we going to lose it and drown it out to nothing? The power of it, it's up to you. Where am I going from here? You see, choice, it's inevitable. It's like walking with both feet. It's a responsibility that must be dealt with. Come on here. I mean, it could be nobody's fault. But when the essence of it comes to reality, it's nobody's fault but yours. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I know it's a little tight here, so I don't mind pushing through it if you don't mind waiting on me. You hear me in this house? We have got more folks that have sat on Pentecostal pews that ain't prayed through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and brag about 30 years of service. It's your fault. I said it ain't nobody's fault but yours. When Pentecost came around, it became an open door for whosoever will, they can have it. I tell you, the enemy may be raging against this meeting, but it lies right here. I said it lies right here among us. Am I going to be defeated? Am I going to be cast down? Is the enemy going to destroy me? Or will I be victorious in the face of my adversary? You see, you're staying in here. Choice. It's like little children who's off to play. No one want to take the blame when judgment must give an account of what must be done to render unto man for his evil deed of which he has committed. It's like child games. We look and say we didn't have a camp meeting. We didn't have a move of God because of so-and-so. But I'm telling you, my God's bigger than so-and-so. My God's greater than all the so-and-sos of this world. You see that fountain that opened up in the house of David? It took down the barriers. It broke the pieces. Everything that would stop man, everything that would cripple man, it broke it to pieces. And he said, for whosoever will, let him come. You see, bitterness. I deal with a few issues here. Bitterness is a force that oftentimes gets blamed by being shifted by other forces coming under them. I mean, I'm not a novice. I didn't wake up yesterday. I may preach like one, but you hear me? I've seen men and women say, they made me bitter. No, 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 no. They didn't make you bitter. What made you bitter was the fact that it was your choice. You could either kill it when it was an infant or feed it and let it become a monster. One man said one time, Mr. Baxter said, he said, sin is the murderer of the human soul. And therefore, by murdering the human soul, it has laid a blade of murder into the whole world. I'm telling you, it's sin to blame. The reason you're bitter, the emptiness of your life, it's because of giving in to sin. It's the giving in to pleasure. It's allowing the devil to destroy you. I felt something just help me. Pressure has never stopped the move of God. There ain't but one thing that's going to stop a move of God, and that is sin. You understand that? I said it's sin. Hear me in this house. Hey preacher, you're preaching a camp, the youth rally. I'm under orders to heaven. And when God spoke to me, he said the choice is there. And it's falling on their children. It's a falling on their generation. It's a falling among them. I say it's high time we rise up and declare the challenge. I must answer the call. It's my choice. Either have the power or lose the power. You see, I'm we'll hit this and move on. When Achan looked at that Babylonian garment laying there so nice, it was the Spirit had got a hold of him. Come on here. Help me preach just a minute. It was the Spirit that got a hold of him. And when he saw all the rest of the material laying there, my God, I feel like preaching. When he saw the rest of it there, he looked around just like children. You ever watch them? When you tell them don't get in it, they kind of look around. Hey, mister, I want to tell you something. And if I die tonight, you hear that I said it. When you got to padlock your door and take the phone off the receiver to commit the deeds that you so like to commit, I'm here to tell you in this house, it's sin. You can click your heels and jump hip pocket high. But when God don't answer, when the Holy Ghost don't come down, it's because sin is dwelling in that house. All of a sudden, war was taking place. And instead of keeping his eyes on the war, I know it's a little different than I normally preach here, but instead of keeping his eyes on the war that was at hand, he started noticing things that were laying around. Come on here. We have got so bad. Oh, come on, ease in here. We've got so bad that if a preacher preaches against adultery, fornication, and lust, we would have first blamed him with a problem of it. But you look at this little fat piece of mine. Not every man that God's got is a womanizer. Are you hearing me? Not every man that God has is a tithe robber. I'm telling you, in this house, only Achan. It'll show up after a while. Your choice is for the towel on you. So he reaches, let me get past this. And he reaches and he grabs and he takes unto him. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with that choice. But you see, it didn't give him indigestion to start with. It was when that one day when God said, it's time to give glory. Come on here. I might go be stripping off a little bit in the side stream. But while I'm here, let me catch this little fish. Are you hearing me? It was a day when trouble was there. Heartache was present. He said to God, let me just attract these young folks for a moment. We can forget about them praying through the Holy Ghost and coming out of that pew this week and having a move of God. As long as Achan feels comfortable, I'm not making a choice to get what he's got hid out. Hear me. All of a sudden, men are dying. War's being made. It was God's delight that the children of Israel were to win. But for some reason or another, when they started losing, the first place they resorted to, come here, Brother Bailey, was to the man of God. What's got wrong with us? I'm telling you, there's some of you think that this man has got to know every crook and cranny about everything about you. But I'm telling you, for your sake, it's God's goodwill that he don't tell us everything. I tell you, he leaves it up unto you to get it out, do away with it, and destroy it. My God, help me preach. I said, my God, I want victory in this house. But Achan, victory can't come. I tell you, pull it out and do away with it. Shook And so they got to looking. He said, "You tell us what the problem is." So he eases off, if I might say, away from the rest of them. And he parts himself. But when he comes back with a voice that's from God. Notice the mercy of God. Notice the mercy of God. Notice it. He said, "Call the tribes one by one and make them line up in front of you." My God, I feel like preaching. I said, "I feel like preaching." Get your wife, son, and stand right there. Get your wife and children, stand right there. Get your wife and children, stand right there. I'll just use these three. Is that all right? Come quickly if you will. I tell you, it was one by one. He spoke unto them and he said, "Give glory unto God." Notice the opportunity that God gave unto them and said, "You make the choice. If your heart's pure." You see, God knows everything. He knows what you did last night. He knows what you said today. He knows what's been wrote in letters. He knows what's hid. He knows what's said. He's aware of it all. There's nothing hid. Why is it quiet tonight? There's a choice to be made. Am I going to be holy, or am I going to be loose? Am I going to be spiritual, or am I going to be carnal the rest of my life? So he walks up to the first group and he says, "Come here. Give God glory." And they start praising him. Come on, that's right. Go ahead. Just go ahead. So he says, "You're excused." Notice this before they excuse. Sorry if I paraphrase. "I sense the honesty of your heart. You're excused. Move on out." And all of a sudden, he looks at the next tribe and he says, "Come here." And so he comes in and he's got everybody with him. And he says, "Give God glory." And so they go to worshiping. And when they go to worshiping, his heart's made glad. And you're excused. You're excused. Tribe after tribe came in among them. But when it came down to Achan's tribe, you see the love of God. I've heard so many say, "It's not fair." I tell you, men are holding by the cords of their own iniquity. What's holding you is not this world. And I'm not on the side of the world. But He has given us power over that world. What's holding you is what knots you have tied in your own life. What silenced your amen. What has shut down the victory. What ceased the anointing and what stopped God is the route that you have tied in your own life. So he calls and he says, "Come on in, Achan." So Achan and his family comes. Condemnation. He knows not. I just feel like this in my heart. He knew not what the man of God was doing. You hear me? But then God said, through the man of God, "Give God glory." Achan drops his head. "Achan, I know it's going to get real tight right here. We have made excuses why we're dead until we think they're acceptable with God." The perfect remedy for a Holy Ghost move of God started before the Holy Ghost ever came. He said, enter into His courts. Enter into His courts. With what? Can anybody shout hallelujah? Well, I've got about 3/4, half of you maybe. Can anybody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I tell you, it's hard. My God, I didn't know I was going to go this way. I'm preaching straight off the cuff right here. But I'm going to tell you why. Our children are getting involved in sin and in morality. They don't see the fire falling among us. I tell you, it'll be a choice. I tell you, you don't get the fire without choosing to suffer. You don't get the fire and the power of God without going through the fire, without going through the den, without going through persecution. God help us. Stand there for the power. There's some things the wedge of gold is changed from, and that Babylonish garment. Our young girls. Now, you jelly livers that don't like holiness preaching, that's just your fault. One man told me one time, but didn't tell me, he told a preacher friend of mine, he said, be careful. It's going to meet you in the middle of the road. He said, that's all right. I know who made the road, so let him meet him. Remember when you was in your prime, you loved it blue ribbon. Yeah, I'm going to say it again. Some of our children has gotten mixed up in some junk, and we changed our convictions just so we could keep them in happy fellowship with the family. But when reckoning day comes, and God's asking what's hid, you can hide it behind long hair. You can hide it behind long sleeves. You come to church and shout on it. But there is a power that's fell among us. Why ain't the sick being healed? Why is it a month of Sundays before some speak in tongues and before divine revelations of the Spirit of God gets a hold of them? They miss church radically. My God, help me preach. What's got a hold of us? It's the choice we have made. It's talent on us. Don't tell me you got the Holy Ghost when you can spend hours on that chat line. And laugh, smile at me, and laugh at off-color jokes and nasty gestures. I've never been on the net, so I don't know what it is. But I'm going to feel good about preaching it right here. You know why it's a creeping in among us? We were so busy guarding television, we shut our eyes to the giant and moved in among us. Hey, hey! So we just kind of hit it. And we said, let him come in. There's no harm in it. That's what he said. But when Achan had to get a hold of God, there wasn't nothing there. I said, there wasn't nothing there. My God, why is it quiet? Why is it quiet? I'll tell you why it's quiet. It's the evidence of the choices we made. I may lose some of you here. We'll bust it right down the middle. Calling 1-900 numbers, Bud Jerry. Aren't you helping me? But we won't say nothing about that evil net. No, I ain't got no hobby horse. But I come here with a bone to pick with the devil. I've come here to tell that devil there is a reality. And if nobody wants to say anything, so what? Achan is going to tell on you when it shows up in your own house. Behold, I've called heaven and earth to record this day against you. In essence, what he's saying, I've called it for you to give an account. What have you been doing lately? I know it. I have burdened in my heart today. 3 times. I have stilled off to pray. And I've sought the face of God. And I said, God, on the first night of this meeting, there's young folks that ain't with us tonight because the choices they have made. There's folks that used to be in my church. They're not here because of choices they've made. You see, choice is more powerful than all the money combined together. Choice is something that man can cover up with at night and go to sleep. And though the winds of adversity blow so chilly, he's yet warm in his own soul and conscience. When he looks at Achan and he says, Achan, it's your choice. You've got glory. But then all of a sudden, Achan drops his head and said, I can't. For buried in the tent at my house is some things I should not have. I was praying today, and I'm no prophet nor the son of a prophet. Just kept burdening on me over and over. What's done in secret will be shouted to the housetop. I'm not against you. I love you. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing within myself. But what's done in secret is going to be told on you. It was 18 months, history records, from the time that David fell with Bathsheba before Nathan the prophet ever came to him. He thought for a year and a half, nobody knows. Nobody's aware of it. But what was creeping on the inside soon become bottle fed. Then it becomes spoon fed. And then before you knew it, we were cooking big meals for it. We were setting out plates for it. And now it started eating big meals. Notice how when it first started, it was just a minor little spirit that got a hold of you. Help me here. It was just a minor little thing that got a hold of you. It was just a small thing that eased in upon you. But now it's a stalking your nights. It's a messing with your dreams. It's a walking with you. What used to walk at night has now started walking in the noonday hour. Come on here. What has laid down with you at night and has robbed you of sleep is now robbing you of peace in the daylight. It would seem as though, as the Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, he said they'll fall into that place when night would come, they would say, what? To God, it was morning, but when morning comes, they say, what to God, it was evening, what to God, it was night. I feel like somebody in this house, some God person in this building, you counted it frivolous, you have counted it nothing to seek God's opinion of your life, but it's going to tell on you after a while. One man said, concerning the army, he said, we took your boys and robbed them from your church. We stowed them out of your choir. Some, we took the Bible out of their hands. Others, we have stowed from the gutters. But when they left our service, they were set bound soldiers for hell. It's my choice. It's my life. I'll do with it what I want to. But you fail to reckon with there's a force that's greater than you are. There's a power stronger than you. I feel this in my soul. When day shall end and night shall be no more, and the morning shall never roll its clouds, and hope forever changing is departed, and that great terrible day of the Lord, when He would look at me, I would want Him to be my friend and not my enemy. I've called heaven and earth to record this day against you. It's your choice. Behold, I say unto thee this night, thou hast mocked at my judgment. Thou hast set it naught at my counsel, when I would speak unto thee. Thou hast searched in mine own way for me. But I tell thee, my way is not your way. For yea, I say unto thee, I have counted your footsteps, and I know the day of your end. I say unto thee, why seekest thou me not? Why turn thy face from me, and seek not my counsel? For yea, I say unto thee, I have the Lord reach unto thee again this night, saith God. Aiken, the question is, what's stopping you from giving glory? I've dealt with families. I've dealt with individuals. And I've looked at men and women just like any other pastor has. After the tragedy. And then say, it's my fault. But if we could just see, it's going to be our fault before the tragedy, we'd liable to spare our soul from some long night agonies. Are you going to give me just a minute? I don't feel the Holy Ghost has set His hand on this meeting this year in any other way than He has any other year. But I feel like some young folks in this building, as well as the elder, You're doing things that your mom and daddy knows not of, and you're not in school. You are of age. What must I do? There's peril among us, and I'm hurrying to a close. John Wesley made this statement in a prophecy many years ago. He said, there will come a day when there'll be more emphasis put on speaking in tongues than they would be being filled with the Holy Ghost. We're there. Some of our young folks know when they ain't living right. But if they could speak in tongues, it soothes their conscience. And get out tomorrow and make the choice and do the same thing again. Sound repetitious? It's not. It's just God trying to keep dealing with you. It's your choice. What am I going to do? But you see, we'd often think, it's my fault. Come on back up here, right there. You don't deal with my family, you just deal with me, it's my fault. But it don't work that way. Innocent boys, innocent girls, were under a heap pile of stones, all because of Him.
Come on.
Lamentations chapter 5. Little small chapter. He said, our fathers have sinned and they are not. And what he literally meant was, our fathers have sinned and they're not here to pay for what they've done. We're paying for it. Stand with me all over this house. Preacher, brother, I don't say this lightly. I do not say this lightly. We've heard so much screaming on, you can make it, run, go for it. I'd give a man any day $500 if he'd just preach conviction across that house. What kept us tight, we have now sought to stay away from. Because, see, conviction brings on agony. Conviction stops our feet from shouting when our soul ain't right. Sorry, go ahead. Behold, I've called heaven and earth to record. And notice the clause here in these scriptures. Jesus Himself, God Himself, throws in His own advice. He said, choose life that you and yours both may live. He loves you enough, He threw in His own opinion. Choose it and you can live. But if you don't choose it, you and yours will die. God's penalty to sin from Adam's day to this day has never changed. I know it. I felt it just as good as I know my name. I felt it tighten up on me in this house. When I mentioned the internet. I felt it. But I'm going to breathe it out once again. I ain't got no hobby horse to ride. But I will say this. If you won't call 900 numbers, what you doing messing with that? Jeremy, young man in my church, somebody come to the piano, begin to play softly. His mother backslid Brother Jeff out of our church. This November, I reckon, or December would be 2-3 years ago, a couple years ago. Nobody said nothing to me. Nobody said a word. I was in a meeting one night at our church, Brother Ralph, Brother Chuck Scribner. We had a Jericho march that night. Sam Booth sits in that corner. I looked across that corner as the people were marching across that corner, Sister Sharon. She come around there. And the Lord spoke to me and said she has made plans to go meet another man. He said, but you tell her, she goes, she'll go without me and without my Holy Ghost. After 20-something years of a born-again experience with God, give out messages in tongues and make the hairs want to crawl up on the back of your neck. A couple weekends later, she's gone. She went to meeting. I knew nothing of it, when it would take place or anything. But the Lord moved on me one morning. He said, when you get back to your church, I was all preaching a meeting. He said, I want you to preach Sunday morning on this subject right here. You're excused. Where he said, I've bid them to come to the marriage. One said, I bought some land and I need to go check on it. I bought some oxen and I need to go prove them. One man said, I married a wife and I can't come. You're excused. You're excused. I just read a letter. You don't mind me saying it, do you? Jeremy just got saved in our church after backsliding. Last night was a week ago. God delivered him, bound by the devil. God set him free and brought him back to us. He handed me a letter and he said, read this. Mama sent me a letter. Mama's got her second husband and she's married and she's living up in West Virginia. These were her words in that letter. She said, for 20-something years, in essence, I was deceived. She went Seventh-day Adventist and sent him a book that said, I read it and I read it to him. We're speaking in tongues. Was a form of paganism. Preacher, did she just make that choice overnight? No. It started in a chat room. Am I right, son? It started in a chat room. She's just a typing in the middle of the night all by herself. Nobody around but her. I feel the Holy Ghost just breathed across this house. When you can do things and say things at night, when there's nobody else around, that's the person God's going to judge in the day of judgment. What am I, preacher? You are what you are and what you do when there's nobody watching you. That's what God's going to judge. That's what God's going to look at. Shout in here all you want to. But when God unrolls the canvas and He says, this is what I got against you. This is what I found you guilty of. Come, Holy Ghost, and walk with me. This is what I've got wrote against you. Can you deny it? Shame would get a hold of you so heavy you'd have to drop your head and say, I can't deny it. I said it. It was me. Young person, I'm not narrow-minded. I've said it in my church. I know there's men and women on the workforce. But when that snake becomes your pastime at home, when it becomes something that you trivially play with at night, that evil web is going to catch you. You can't blame nobody. I know I feel the Holy Ghost breathing this to me. And I know I got you on your feet. But some of you are blaming this church the reason you're no closer to God than what you are right now. It ain't this church's fault. It's your fault. You're blaming your church, your preacher, your pastor, your teacher, your wife, your spouse, your mom, your dad. It's all of their fault. But oh, when Calvary came into existence, He tore that veil from top to bottom. And He said, you can go for yourself. Can anybody say amen? You can go for yourself. Nobody has to beg you. If you can just feel the breath of God, He said, you can come if nobody else comes. You can make it if nobody else wants to make it. You hear me? I've got a church and I don't want to talk about it, but I just want to say this. When mamas and daddies in that church still had televisions, and we got some that still do, there's just some things. I don't care how powerful you think your preacher is, he's still not God. You hear me? But you listen to me. I had young boys that are now married and accepted the call to preach the gospel, who's married and got their own children, have told me in years later, said, when I got saved, I knew mom and daddy was in church and they'd shout and speak in tongues. But they'd get mad because when it come television watching time, I went to the bedroom and they accused me of not being sociable. It looked like daddy would understand. You know what he's tonight? He's a giant of a man. He's a father now of his own son. And he says, I want to do it right. Whose choice is it? Yours. It's yours. Don't back up on me. It's yours. Saints of God, elders, saints of God, you can either die gracefully, full of the power of God, or just get bitter about your age and grow cold and mean in the sight of God. Or you can just tell the devil, you ain't a stealing my blessing that I've carried all these years. I'm going to hold on to God until I die. Until I die. Why must I do it? Because I got a young girl. I got a young boy that's coming behind me. And I don't want him to think when they get old the Holy Ghost dies. I want him to know it stays alive. The fire's real. The glory of its reality. God help us make the right choice and to go the right way from here. To make the right choice. Brother Marshall Atkins, I'm so glad you're here this year. But when you die, if the rapture don't take place, I'd like to have one man to say, God, let me step up behind Brother Marshall. I'll say what I feel and I'll get out of the way. You may get tired of this red flag. You say, oh, it's Brother Marshall. Yeah, but Brother Marshall helped some of y'all get healed. Yes. Won't come help me? How come he did it? Because he made a choice. Hold it up for me, if you will. I don't care if I do have cancer. I'm keeping this. I don't care. Oh yeah, he may have bad days just like all the rest of us. But I'm still keeping my eyes focused on one thing, and that's victory. Victory in Jesus. Has it always been an easy choice? No. It ain't never been an easy choice to make up your mind to go that way. But all the dividends of making up your mind to go that way is far better than making up your mind to lose. How would you help me here? I said it's far better than making up your mind to lose. I want to tell every young person in this building, I love you with all my heart. And I don't want to talk about it. But at the age of 15, God snatched me out of bar rooms and doing things that I shouldn't have ever done. But at the age of 15, when I said yes and surrendered the call to preach, I'm going to tell you the past 21 years or 22 has been the best of my entire life. Do you know what thrills me more than anything else? After 21 years or better, I've already outlived the time I was in a service for the devil. Are you hearing me? I've done got 22 years almost in being a Christian, in being a child of God. I don't want to quit. I read your story last night about the rabbit and the weasel. And if be my, not a Bourne's book, a golden milestone. I got down, don't mind me, I even got down today and I said, God, make me the weasel. Make me the one so determined to go after what I need. A man made the statement, I'm not going to hit it all. He said the weasel is so set upon its prey that it could run, if it's got one rabbit in mind, it could run through a whole slew of rabbits and never be turned away from its one goal. And it was that one rabbit. He said, if you're standing there and your feet are apart far enough, said he'll literally bypass you and keep his focus on the sin of that one rabbit. Oh, that some men, I feel the Holy Ghost to say this, that when we got saved some years ago, we'd keep our eyes and senses open to the glove of Calvary till nothing just sidetracked us and got us off the main highway. Come on here. I feel the first night of this meeting, God's trying to reach and set this thing in order. You've got to make a choice. You ain't got all your life. You ain't got another month. You may not have another year. You've got to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. And it's not always easy. I didn't preach half of what I thought I was wrote down to preach. I preached straight to you what God gave me just right here tonight. Young girl, young boy, I may laugh and cut up with you, but there ain't nothing no more serious to me in all my life than making the choice of heaven. You may live to make big money, but if you miss heaven, you've missed it all. Don't go to hell. Make the choice to go to heaven. Father in heaven, I bow my heart before you this night. I stand in this building and I plead for the counsel of heaven and the Spirit of God to deal with souls across this house. Stir men's hearts. Bring them to the reality of the truth. Something must be reckoned with. Where am I going from here? You've done already spoke. We've sought counsel in every other way. Don't let us turn our face from you again tonight. Let us make the right choice. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, and they sang and played. what's going to be my choice. Am I going to reckon with the fact that I've got to make a choice? What am I going to do when God looks at me and says, I gave you that choice? Where am I going from here? Am I going to seek God's counsel or the counsel of this world? I want to take His counsel. There's life in it. If you're here tonight and the Lord's dealing with your soul, I want you to come out of that pew right quickly. I'll not grow old struggling with a bad choice. I want to make the right choice for God. Come on, all across this building. God didn't just deal with us tonight. God didn't just speak in this building tonight to pass it off as nothing. He's come to deal with us and to talk to us. You see, by you just standing there, you're making a choice. I'm not making no choice. I'm either going to surrender to Him and say yes to Him, or I'm saying yes to that's holding me. What am I going to do? The altars are open. Hold on just a minute. Hold on. I want you to look right this way. I've had a couple preachers, great preacher friends of mine, call me. Said, Brother Noah, has this happened in your meetings? Brother Head called me and asked me about it, different other preachers. He said, it seemed like the devil's holding our people in their pews. When altar calls made, it's like they don't know whether to come or leave. What's holding me? There's something holding you. There's something holding. Brother Lord, you don't mind me repeating what you said. This ain't just for the youth. This is for you to catch on fire to keep them burning. There's folks right now in this building tonight. You're standing in a valley of decision. And it's not little decisions either. What am I going to do? I'd love to have an honest heart. Wouldn't you? When God spoke to my heart through preaching, I'd respond and say, God, I want to make the right choice. I'm going to give an altar call different tonight than I'd normally give. I don't want just anybody in the altar. I don't want you to take that wrong. If there's an area in your life that's facing a major decision, if there's an area in your life that God has dealt with tonight, I'm going to ask you to step out of that pew. Come to this altar. I'm going to ask you to make a move for God. You're not moving for me. What am I going to do? Thank you, brother. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. out of this crowd tonight, 8 people is all God had to talk to. Only 8 choices. We've sung it, we've shouted it, but we never want to deal with it. I've got to make a choice right here in this center aisle. I'm preaching to a couple of people right here in this center aisle. Your passing off is soon to catch up with you. Hear ye this night. I tell thee this night, you have not turned away my servants. You have not turned away my people. But turning at my counsel, you have turned away from me. But I tell thee this night, I call again unto thee. And I say unto thee, make the choice, saith the Lord. I'm not going to say anything else. It's all in your hands. Anyone feels like praying? You want to come to this altar? How about meeting these in this altar? God, I want to make the right choice. If you want to know the honest truth, every Holy Ghost individual in this building should have already been burning the altar hot. God, bring them in. Bring them in. This idleness and lethargy that's fell among us, God, destroy it. Destroy it. Destroy it. If the lost is to be saved, let them see my choice being made for you. Oh, God.
Change.